1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll pick it up about verse 9 this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That's good stuff. All that's good preaching. Verse 12 says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am also known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I want to call your attention to verse number 12. It says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And the glass that you and I see through today is the Word of God. That's the only way that we'll see the Lord. That's the only way in the world we'll step into God's world is through the glass of the Word of God. And James chapter 1 says this about that. James chapter 1 says this, verse number 22. It says this, James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what he's talking about is the Word. For if any be a hearer of the Word, not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's the Word of God. It's like a man reading the Word of God and looking at the glass like a mirror, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man is he. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his days. And I want you to notice there about that is that the Word of God is that glass that you and I see through. You and I, how we get to know God, how we see God is through the Word of God. And the Word of God is that glass. It's just like these glasses I have on right here. If I take these glasses off, I can't hardly see anything. I can't tell hardly Dot from Carol. That would be bad, would it? Seriously. I mean, for real. I can't. When I was about 17, I guess it was the first one of the first times I ever had an eyeglass test. You know, nowadays they give them to you all the time. You go to the dentist all the time. We didn't do that when we was a kid. You know what I'm talking about. And I went to get my driver's license. I'd been driving since I was 14 years old. I came home one day and I told my daddy, I said, when are you going to teach me how to drive? And he threw the keys to me. He said, go drive. And every day he'd come home from work because I was about 14. I'd get the keys and head off with about 20 guys in the car hanging out the car, you know. That's the way I learned how to drive. That's the way you did. And I've been pulled over by the police back in those days. They just, you knew them, and they kind of let you go. But my daddy one day, he come in, he said, boy, I think that's what he called me, boy. I don't know if he ever learned my name yet. I didn't know what my name was till a few months ago, what it was. So looked at the birth certificate. That's he called me, boy. And when he called all of us boy, I had three brothers, and he'd just say boy. And when he said, somebody asked me, say, when he said boy, which one of you came running? We all came running. Amen. Boy just worked for everybody. Hey, boy. And I came in one day and he said, boy, I think it's time you better go get your driver's license. And I said, okay, let's go. And I went to get my driver's license. Brother Ben, they put me down there and they put me in that machine. You looked in that thing and they said, you know, oh, well, read these letters, read this sign. I said, what letters, what sign? I don't see anything. My vision was 20 over 200. That's how bad it was. I didn't know it. I didn't know people had noses and eyes and everything looked like E.T. to me, the extraterrestrial. I didn't know, Brother Don. And I went to Bill Akers up 5 Points West. That's where only I doctor around. And he sent me that machine. He said, look at that sign. And he started, and I started saying, yeah. And I got some glasses and I got these big old, oh, they didn't have glasses, designer glasses back in those. Everybody wore them big old black glasses. You know what I'm talking about. And I got those big old black glasses and he said, you better wear these. And I never want to take them off, Brother Don, because I never seen all the stuff. That's what happened when I got saved, see. I got saved and God gave me the glasses of the Word of God and saved me, Brother Ben, and all of a sudden everything's clear. And that glass that you and I look through is the Word of God. And that Bible said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You know what, one of these days right now, here's the Word of God that you and I see through. This is what we look through, and we see through it darkly right now, but then face to face. And one of these days, we're going to see the Word of God. You know who Jesus is? He's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 19 said, I saw heaven opened, and a head that come out on a white horse and sat upon him faithful and true. And it goes on, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, right now we see through the Word of God, we see the glass darkly, but then we're going to see the Word of God face to face. I'm looking forward to that. I got a message on face to face. That's what I'm not preaching at this morning. I'm going to preach to you. For now we see through a glass darkly. You know, the Word of God is how we get in there. That's our looking glass. That's our glasses. That's how we look and we see God. And too many times in our life, I'll be honest with you in mind, too many times when I read the Word of God, I'm looking through it, Brother Chris, and I'm seeing through it darkly. And it's not real clear sometimes to me. But sometimes I read the Word of God, and I'll tell you, there's sometimes, brother, I tell you, heaven opens up. I mean, there's been times I'm reading the Word of God. Paul said over there in the book of Corinthians, in the body or out of the body, I can't not tell, for God knoweth. There's been some time, Brother Ben, I've been reading that Bible, and I'm telling you, it's like I've been transported into the third heaven, and I'm up here with God. That Bible is so clear, it's so real to me, it's like the Holy Ghost has given me an IV right in my veins. But Miss Rachel, I confess to you, there are some times I read that Bible, I can't get off the ground. Sometimes I read that Bible, I'll read it 30 minutes, and I'll sit and I'll say, man, what did I just read? What did I just read? And there's times I read the Bible, and it's just like it's darkly to me. I'm not getting through. And you know what I figured out a while back? I figured out the problem is not the Word of God, the problem's me. It's not that the Bible is not clear. It's not that the Bible's lost its value. It's the problem with me. There's something wrong with me. For now we see through a glass darkly. And there's sometimes, my friend, that Bible's just dark to us and we can't get through. And brother, there's sometimes that old Bible, man, it's real. I reminded one time, I heard about a joke about a man one time. He was looking for a taxi and it was raining pouring down, and finally found a taxi. He jumped in the car of that taxi cab driver, and he didn't have his windshield wipers on. And the rain was pouring down. It was just pouring down. And that guy in the back seat said, hey, told the taxi driver, he said, won't you turn the windshield wipers on? You could see. He said, it wouldn't do any good because I left my glasses at home. World's that way, isn't it, sometimes? Hey, that's our glasses right there, that Word of God. And that's how we see God. And sometimes, let's just be honest with us this morning, sometimes we can read it, and it's just like reading nothing else, like looking at a wall. But then there's sometime, brother, I'm going to tell you, that Bible is real to me. Bible says one time, it's a light in my path, a lamp to my feet and a light in my path. The entrance of thy words give us light. And brother, that Bible ought to speak to us. It ought to be alive to us. It ought to be a light to us. But too many times in our lives, in my life, I'm preaching to me this morning, by the way, too many times, Brother Don, that Bible is darkly to me. I'm not getting through to it. And I got thinking about myself a while back about this message. I've had it a while. I've never preached it. But I got thinking about some things that just that interfere with me reading the Bible, Brother Chris. And I will say the first thing this morning that will make the Word of God darkly to you and make it dark is the mud of the world. The mud of the world. You know what mud will do? It'll make things dark. You heard that saying, you know, say, well, that was clear as mud. You know, mud, it means it's just not very clear. And you know what? The world out there, it's muddy, man, big time. But it says about that Bible, it's a light in my lamp to my feet, a light in my pathway. And I'm going to tell you, when these eyeglasses of mine, when they get dirty and they get muddy, you know what? I can't see out of them too good. It gets kind of foggy. It gets kind of blurry. First thing I do when I wake up every morning, one of the first things I'll do is I'll get my glasses and I'll clean them up. I don't know why they get dirty during the night and get smudgy, but they do. And you know what I do during the day? I got a rag on my desk, I got a rag up here, and I got a rag in my car. During the day, I'll get out there and clean my glasses. You say, why? They get muddy, Miss Liz. When they get muddy and they get dirty, you know what? I can't see through them too good. And there's been times, this may not happen to you, I might not even tell you this, but I'll tell you anyway. As you'll think, well, that preacher sure is stupid. But you know, there's been times, Miss Rachel, I've had a spot on my glasses, And I'm thinking it's the gnat flying. And there's been times, Miss Liz, I've been actually swatted at that gnat. And I see that thing flying, I'm going. And I take my glasses and there's a piece of dirt on it. You know, it reminds me of one time the Lord said, He said about them Pharisees, He said they strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel sometimes. You know, sometimes a little bit of dirt can get in your life like that, and you spend half your life sweating at gnats when all you need to do is just clean the dirt off. I want to tell you, the mud of this world, it'll darken the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more mud to go around now than they've ever been. You don't believe it, just turn on the TV. You know what they do on the TV, on the news? They mudsling. So all they do is sling mud. Nobody's trying to save nothing. Our country shut down. You know what all they're doing? They're just slinging mud at each other. Hey, just sit together and get those people back their paycheck. Quit playing games, man. You know what they're doing? You're slinging mud at each other. You know what a lot of people do, Christians included? They get all upset about it. You don't need to get upset about it. Just read the Word of God. Get hold of God. I heard Brother Ron Rao preach Monday night. Up here at we went to a missions conference up here in Gaston. And I never heard him preach. He used to be Brother Larry and Miss Jana's pastor. And I've known of him, heard of him, different things. And they get our tracts and stuff through the years, but I've never heard him preach. And got to hear him Monday night. And he preached on John 10:10. And he preached on the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. And brother, I'm telling you, my life was there. He covered a lot of territory, didn't he? He, brother Chris, he knocked about everything around. And he got up and he said, the devil can't damn your soul. You got your soul. But he said, the devil will come in, he'll steal your mind, what he'll do. He said, he'll get your mind messed up, and he'll get it off the things of God, and he'll get it where you're no longer walking with God. He said, well, the worst thing you never do is turn on all this cable TV. I told him later, I said, brother, I've been preaching that for years. He said, Fox News, CBS, he said, I got news for you this morning, tonight. He said, Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and those folks, they're not conservative and they're sure not Christians. He said, turn that junk off. He said, all that does, it will take over your mind. You know what that is? That's the mud of the world. You know what the mud of the world will do? It'll darken the Word of God. I saw a poll this week. Since they've been taking political polls, which is forever, right now our country is the most divided it's ever been. No time like it's ever been right now. 25% of the government shut down, the longest in history, and they spend most of their time slinging mud at each other. You know what happens? Brother, when you get in the mud of the world, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll darken the Word of God. It'll mess up your vision. It'll mess up your vision. You'll get more concerned about that than that Bible. I don't worry about that stuff. You can't change it anyway. The mud of the world, it'll darken the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. You say, what are you talking about? Now we see through the glass darkly. And that the only thing we can see through to see God is the Word of God. And we see through that glass. And too many times, it gets dark. Too many times in our life, the Word of God doesn't speak to us. We read it, and it's dark. You say, what'll do it? The mud of the world. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. It's a great story here. John chapter 9. Well, the heat's coming in pretty good now, isn't it? I'll turn it down a little bit over here. John chapter 9, verse 1 says this. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, that the works of God should be made manifest. And go down to verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation said. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came away, said. You know what? Brother Chris preached a great message on that. He preached that message here at this church. I remember Brother Chris very well. He preached it January the 19th, 2014. You remember that? 4 years ago, nearly five years ago. January the 19th. Yesterday was 5 years he preached that message. You know what he called it? Get the mud out of your eyes. He said, you know what you need to do? He said, the problem you're not right with God, I still remember. He said, the problem you're having a problem with God. He said, you got mud in your eyes. You know what you need to do? You just need to get the mud, wipe them off your eyes, and go wash them out. You know what happens? The mud of this world will get in your spiritual eyes, and it'll make the Word of God dark, and you need to do like Brother Chris said, you just need to wash the mud out of your eyes. Because it'll make the Word of God dark. The mud of this world, it'll darken the Word of God. I like what Brother Roloff said years ago. I love that old man. He went home to be the Lord. And he gave a great illustration. I never forgot it. And he said there were two men looking out from prison bars. One looked down and saw mud. The other looked up and saw stars. If you keep looking at the earth and the world, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see nothing but the mud of the world. If you look up, you know what you'll see? You'll see the stars of heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. I want to tell you, the mud of this world, it'll darken the Word of God. If you get your heart and your mind on the mud of this world, it'll close that book. Years ago, I worked for a consulting firm. I got out of Bible school. I came up here, and these people were wild. they were the smartest people I ever worked with. And I was young at the time, and we worked all. We didn't never off. Started with about, when I worked for them, they had about six people. We worked for oil companies. We did consulting for them. I programmed the computers and consulted for them. It was the most high-stress job I've ever been in. We had people more than once, probably about half the people that hire. They'd hire a programmer, come in, and he'd come in there. And usually when you go to a new job, they give you a few minutes to break in. Not that one. As soon as you come in the door, they're putting you to work. And we had a lot of them go to lunch and call in and say, I'm not coming back to that place. We had secretaries come to work and they'd call in and say, I ain't coming back there. It was high pressure. Smart people, they made a lot of money. I loved it. I worked for them for 3 years. They went out of business. But they were good folks, and I was pastoring the church at the time, and there was Christians there. And the guy that run the place, Richard, he was the CEO of the deal. Started when he was 18 in his mother's bedroom. The guy was a genius. We had 40 people after a while. They're the smartest people I've ever been around. They liked me. Richard liked me. He would approve. He would get everything approved by me because I was a preacher and a pastor. And they let me just kind of have my way there to some extent. But they were always having a get-together on Saturdays or something, you know, and try to get the families together. They was kind of family-oriented. And I never went. Me and Everett never took my family. And one of them, they passed around Miss Jane. They had a sheet they passed around. They said, absolutely no drinking, no cursing, nothing, you know. They're trying to get me to come kind of thing, you know. And then she was, Vicky, the secretary, she was really trying to get me to come. And she said, Terry, aren't you going to come? I said, no, I don't think we'll make it. And I'll never forget, she got kind of mad at me, Carol. She said, you know what? She said, you're a stick in the mud is what you are. You ever heard that? You know what I told her? I said, you know what? I'd rather be a stick in the mud. I'd rather be a stick, Brother Ben, than in the mud. I don't want to get in the mud of the world. Brother Dalton tickled me a couple of weeks ago, the end of last week. And my wife was giving him some piano lessons. And he was having a hard time seeing it, wasn't he? And she is watching, he's having a hard time figuring it out. And you know what happened? His glasses were dirty. They cleaned his glasses off and he's up there tickling and playing the piano. You know what? The mud of this world will darken the Word of God in your life. You got to keep everything clean because this world just put the mud on it. Not only will the mud of the world darken the Word of God, I'll tell you something else. The mud of the world will darken it. I tell you something else that will make the Word of God dark in your life. And you sit there and read it 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 for 30 minutes, read it for an hour and get through and say, why in the world did I just read? Ever happened to you? Happened to me. You know what I do? You say, what do you do? I pray and ask God to forgive me and go back and read it again. I'd have to do that. You know what else to do it? The mud of the world and the flood of worry. Worry will do it. The flood of worry. I preached a message here. I preached it on June the 4th, 2016. 2.5 years ago. I preached a message on there. Some of you may remember. It was called what? Me worry. Remember, I had Alfred Newman, the mad guy. You know, he's the one that said, what? Me worry? Hey, listen, yeah, you worry. Every one of us in here worries. Unless you're a psychopath, you worry about something. There's nobody on this earth that don't worry. We worry about something. I've heard all worry some of the time, and some worry all the time. Some people just worry. Sometimes we worry about what we worry and why we worry. Sometimes we worry because we worry. We worry because we're worried. You know, you ever felt that way? Why am I worried about you? It's like when you lay down and go to sleep at night when you can't sleep because you can't sleep, and you worry because you can't sleep, and that makes it worse. And you worry because you worry. We all worry. It's just part of life. And some worry is beneficial to us. Some worry will send us to our knees and get hold of God. But sometimes when the flood of worry consumes us, when we pick up and read the Bible, our mind is over there worried all the time. And you can't concentrate. And that worry is taking your mind and your spirit away from reading the Word of God. And the Word of God, it gets darkened. We all worry. I don't care who you are. I worry about my grandkids. I worry about my kids. My daughter had the flu this week. I worried about her. I worried about the kids. I worry about Don. I worry about Michelle. I worry. And I try to pray. We all worry. But when that flood of worry comes in and consumes you, that's when you're in trouble. I did this show, comes on TV called Gold Rush. Anybody ever seen everything they did for that gold, you know? Bunch of kooks. I watch it every once in a while. I had this guy on the other night. I saw it, and he was having some problems with his machine, you know. And one of the producers or somebody said, "Are you worried about it?" He said, "I don't never worry or get stressed." Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. About 10 minutes later on the show, it shows him throwing his hat down and cursing people out and kicking everything. Yeah, he worries just like you do. But you know what? When that flood of worry takes over, it'll consume you and it'll darken the Word of God in your life. You know, Jesus, over and over and over and over and over, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "Peace I give you, not in the world." John 14:27, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Over and over and over, He tells us, "Set your affection on things above, not on things there." Except, because He knows we're going to go through worry. And when that flood of worry comes on, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll darken this Bible. And you read that Bible, or you won't even read it. Or when you do read it, you'll pick it up. You know what happens? You won't even remember what you read. You say, why? Your mind's over there on that worry over and over and over. Worry is the number one cause of nearly all premature death and illness. Worry causes all kind of health problems, mental disease, diabetes, heart conditions, high blood pressure, stress, bone disease. There's a correlation with thyroid, arthritis, migraine. I mean, over and over. And it said this, 1/3 of all vision problems are related to worry. 1/3 of all vision problems are related, it says, to worry. It interferes with the blood supply to your eyes. I thought to myself, that's the way the worry of the world is. It'll mess up your vision with the Lord, and it'll interfere with the blood supply of the Lord. It'll get in the way, and it'll darken our vision. It'll make the Word of God darken to us, and we worry about it. Some worry is beneficial. It'll drop you to your knees. Miss Jana, I mentioned that this morning. I got a blessing. I thought about that several times when we was talking about the songs we sing walking around during the day. And she stood at that piano pole and she said, "The song I sing is I Must Tell Jesus." She said, "Because I must tell Jesus." You know what that is? That's beneficial worry. That's when you get to the point in life where you know, hey, I need to get along with God. There's a flood of worry, but sometimes that flood of worry, like that song said, it's like sea billows roll on my soul. And it'll darken the Word of God in your life. And you read the Bible, and sit there, and the next thing you know, you don't even remember what you read. Happens all the time to us. The flood of worry. You know the worry, the word worry, the etymology of the word, you know what it means? It's a word that means seize by the throat, or tear, and strangle, or choke. That's what it means. That's what the word worry means. The original meaning of the word means to seize by the throat and tear it off, or strangle and choke. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. You know what the worry will do? It'll make the Word of God darken in your life where it don't speak to you. You get so worried about stuff. Happens all the time. Happens to all of us from time to time. We get consumed by it. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 19. It says this, "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering." You know what that is? That's worry. Worry. Look what it does. It chokes the Word. That's what the word worry means, to choke. It chokes the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares of this life, just day-to-day stuff, it'll make you worry. It'll make you worry. I'm having to do my taxes this year, and this is the first year I've ever done taxes as a minister, as a preacher. And it's a mess. I mean, it's totally, it's unbelievable. And then that, Brother Don, they changed the whole tax system this year on me. Once I figured it out, spent hours and hours learning how to do it and talking to people and reading, and then they changed the whole thing. I got to start over. Well, I got ready to do my W-2. I have to get out of W-2, so I got on online. I put in a W-2 from the church to me kind of thing. And you can do it online. So I got on this week on the Social Security side and to do it. And I got on there and I thought I had all my ducks in a row. I've been paying my self-employment tax. I've had everything ready. I'm talking to people. And it come up and there was a check on the form, Miss Jane, that said 941 form required. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of a 941? Valerie's heard of it. I hadn't either. I read all kind of stuff. And it said, you got to do a 941. I got on the internet and read about 941. Every quarterly, you're supposed to see in this church, you're supposed to see in every quarterly how much money we're paying out to people. Every quarter. I didn't know that. So I called some people up. I called a lady up that helped me quite a bit in Indiana, Judy. She runs a company. All they deal is preachers and stuff for taxes. She said, yeah, Brother Terry, you should have been filing that every quarter. You know what that is? Cares of this life. You know what that'll do? That'll make you worry. You know what I did? I put all four of them in the envelope for every quarter. I did four of them, checked the quarter off. Brother Don, I told Judy, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send all four of them to them and write them a nice little letter and tell them I'm praying for them. See how that goes. She said, I gave her some examples that I read where you didn't have to do it. And I told them, I said, I pray this is satisfactory. And next year I'll try to do better. And I just pray you guys will forgive me for this and send it off. And I prayed about it. And Brother Ben, I just said, I'm not going to worry about that no more. It's in God's hands. She said, Judy said, well, if they could call your whatever correspondence, she said, let me know. I'll try to help you. You know what that is? Flood of worry. Brother Ben, I've been helping him with his taxes this year. Hope it's okay to say this, but he had his W-2 the other day, and I was under the assumption, I bet everybody here was under the assumption that Obamacare was done away with. You didn't have to pay the mandate anymore. Wrong. Wrong. It's another, we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. It's not done away with. I got to started going through and they changed the whole 1040 form and I started going and they're right on the form it said health care exempt or were you full time? I said, they're not supposed to put that on here. So I started looking at the instructions. Guess what? It hadn't went away with. You still got to pay it. Now I said, earlier that night, I sent him the first draft that they had, how much I thought he'd get back after I figured it out. That was before I found out you got to pay Obamacare, and I sent it back to him the second time with $695 less than what it was for. That's what you got to pay. And Brother Ben called me the next day, and you know what he said? Praise the Lord, Brother Terry. I guess that's just what it'll be. He didn't worry about it. You know what he could have done? He could have got worried about it. But you know what? You know what glory of a flood of worry I do? It'll make the Word of God darken in you and get in your heart and you read that Bible and it won't speak to you. I want to say the mud of the world will do it. The flood of worry will do it. If worry will consume you. I'll tell you something else to do it. I'll tell you something else to make the Word of God darken. When you read the Bible, you can't get your mind focused on it. The crud of being weary. You know what happens when you get weary? You get crud. And you get crusted. And you get rusted. And you get to the point there's just not a whole lot of ambition anymore. You know when you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning sometimes and you get up in the morning and there's just that crud in your eyes, what they call it. You ever had that? I mean, it just gets in the corner of your eyes sometimes. And sometimes it might even get in your eyelashes. And you open up your eyes and you just kind of blurry and everything. And there's just that crud gets in your eyes and stuff. And the doctors say that what that is, that's dirt and debris and stuff from the night. It gets in your eyes and it just cakes up in your eye. That crud and that crud of the weary and just worn out of getting your eyes sometime. And you can't see real good. When you're in the daytime, your eyes pretty amazing. God made an amazing machine. Every 10 seconds on the average, your eye blinks. You don't even know it. It blinks at about 400 nanoseconds a time. Your brain don't even see it. You don't even know it. But every 10 seconds or so, It blinks. You know what happens? God puts some windshield wipers on your eyes. Like those windshield wipers on your car, those eyelids on your eyes, you know what it does? It cleanses your eyes continually. Stuff is continually getting your eyes, and those eyelids are going up and down, and tears are coming out a little bit, and God makes some windshield wipers, and it keeps the eye clean. But when you sleep at night, your eyes not blinking, so it's not able to clean the eyes, so that crud will crank up in your eyes. And that's kind of the way it is with a child of God. When you get inactive and you get weary, you know what? The crud will build up in your life. And when you pick up the Bible, it'll be dark. I like to stay active. I don't like to sit around. There's a lot of things that I have a problem with, but I like to get around and move. The Bible said, let us not be weary. We'll do in due season, we'll reap. Daniel said about the Antichrist, he'll wear out the saints of the Most High. I just like to get up and be active. I like to be active for the Lord. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm at the grocery store, I was at the post office Thursday, went in there, I go there every week. We have a tract ministry, and every week I bring a bunch of boxes and packages of tracts that we ship around the country, and usually it's Thursday or Friday. I go to the little post office at Clay. The lady that's there, normally, she's real nice, and she's been off this week. She's on vacation. And they had a little black girl there that normally works up in Odenville post office. She was there. And I reached in there and got talking to her a little bit. And I gave her one of my little get out of hell free cards. And Brother Ben, right there at the post office, we just had us a mini revival. Boy, that girl was saved. She was jumping around. I was jumping around there. And brother, I'm going to tell you, it helps me to be active just serving the Lord. It'll keep the crud out of your life. I go down the park about every day. I was out there Thursday in the rain. I was the only one in the rain. Thursday morning, I went out there and walked in the rain. When the rain stopped, Brother Don, some of the regulars finally showed up. And they showed up. I started ribbing them a little bit. I said, yeah, I know who the fair weather walkers are. And they said, we can't handle that rain, Brother Terry. We can't handle the rain. But I like to walk in and give out gospel tracts and talk to people about the Lord. I want to stay active. I don't want to get crud in my life. I don't want to get weary with that stuff. I want the Word of God to be clear to me. I don't want it to get dark. Last Friday I was there. I saw a guy there that week I've never seen before. He looked just like a friend of mine, John Killing. He's a preacher down in Boga, but he wasn't John. I knew it wasn't John, but he looked a lot like him. But I gave him a tract, Brother Ben, asked to be saved. He said he was saved, loved the Lord, all this. So I kept going, you know. I hadn't seen him there anymore. Friday I was getting in my car. I was going to get in my car. I was leaving. And I heard him. He said, hey, Brother Watkins! Wait! And he come over. I didn't know how he knew my name. But he came over there and he said, hey, Brother Watkins, remember me the other day? I said, yeah, I gave you a track. I said, how do you know me? He said, Joseph Mills pastored a little church out there. And I've given him a track. And brother, this guy's named Brother Carroll. And he told Brother Joseph, the pastor, he said, I was down there at the park down there, and he said, I was walking around, and this guy came up and gave me a gospel tract and talked to me about the Lord. And Brother Mills said, I'll tell you who that was. That man's name was Terry Watkins. You go see if that's not him. He said, yep, that was me. You know what that is? That's just being active and keeping the crud out of your life. My wife went out yesterday, or Saturday. She went out there passing. They went and walked around Friday. And they went and walked around the park. And she gave a tract to this couple. And it was Brother Mills, the pastor of that church. And she was telling about this. She gave him a tract and he said, I know your pastor. I know where you go to church. I know your pastor. She said, I know him too. I married him. You know what that is? That's just being active for the Lord, Brother Ben. Just like going out there and telling people in the fast food and giving out tracts. Because what will happen if you get weary and worn out? That crud will build up in your life. And you'll get crudded and crusted and rusted. And for long, the Word of God, it'll get dark. I like to walk around. You know, they said, right, I got an article. I meant to bring it this morning. They say the greatest cure and treatment for dementia is exercise. What they say, I got an article on it. They said the number one cause of dementia, I got an article. This week I found it. The number one cause of dementia is lack of exercise, of inactivity. They said the greatest treatment and the greatest medicine, they said, you could ever have for dementia is just staying active. And that's true with the Word of God. If you want to get away from the Word of God and not have it speak to you and have it dark and not have a desire, all you have to do is quit active and quit doing anything for God. But when you get out, it puts you on a limb sometime. Even in this church, if y'all notice, I like to stand up when we sing. I like to stand up and walk around. I do that in other churches when I'm not even the pastor of some of them. I just get up and walk around. I just like to be active. When I go to the homeless, boy, you should see that. Some of you been down here. You know what I'm talking about. When we're outside, they got a bunch of picnic tables is what they got. They got about, 30 maybe, Brother Chris, you think, out there. And they'll get sitting all over those picnic tables. And when I'm out there preaching to them, Brother Ben, I'm going through those picnic tables like this. I don't stop the whole time. I'm going in and out those picnic tables and preaching. I'll stop and say, hey, listen to me what I'm talking about. I'm just going through that. I must run at least a mile going through that thing. And it's so funny. There'll be about 50 or 60 guys or people out there, Miss Liz, men and women. And the whole time I'm running, Brother Ben, they're like this, watching me like a cat. I want to be active. You know what happens when you get weary and worn and inactive? That crud will build up like it does in your eyes. I want to tell you the mud of the world, the crud of the world. I want to give you one more. I got two more, but I'm just going to close with one more. I'll tell you the mud of the world, it'll make it dark. The flood of worry will make it dark. When that worry consumes, you're going to have to learn how to give it to the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to lay that stuff on the altar. If you don't, man, it'll consume you. I'll tell you something else, the crud of the weary will do it. When you just get worn out and tired and inactive, that crud will build up. And I want to say one more this morning. And this is kind of the result of the mud, the flood, and the crud. Because you'll end up with, and I hate to say this one, but you'll end up with a dud of worship. You'll end up like we have here sometimes, too many times, where we come here and worship God, and we just get in here excited about God, and you know what happens? It just turns into a dud. A dud. You know what a dud means? It means a failure or a loss. Or it means an explosive that didn't go off. When I was a kid, you know, we get a firecracker and we light that firecracker and it'd crack it off and the fuse would go psh, and we would go off and say, that's a dud. You know what? Too many services we have in this church. You know what happens? We go in here, we want to get excited about God, and you know what? It's a dud. It's nothing but a fuse. Nothing there. Too many churches, too much of it now, they're turning to the dud of worship, and it'll darken the Word of God, it'll darken your life. And we just go through the motions sometimes. Brother, we need to get excited about God. There ought to be fireworks when you come to church. It ought to not be a fuse, it ought to not be a dud. There ought to be excitement, there ought to be an explosion. And too many times in this church, even our worship services, they're duds. They're just a fuse. And we lost the excitement. We've lost the excitement. And we've lost the fireworks. And listen, we should never, never, never worship the Lord Jesus and it be a dud. Never! Because one thing for certain, He's not a dud. He's not a failure. He's not a fuse. He's the real deal. There's a dud of worship. Too many times our worship services are duds. They should never be a dud. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go in the house of God. I mean, it ought to be a great place to go and serve God. Luke 24:52 says this, and they worship Him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. We ought to get with God and worship Him. Too many times there's a dud in our churches. And they die eventually. We was talking about this a little bit early. And I gave you this. I got an article right here. I brought it with me today. And it's called, I gave it to you last week, Where is Christianity Headed? The View from 2019. And it says in this article, here's what it says. Just came out here a couple weeks ago. Within United States, white U.S. congregations are withering. From 1991 to 2014, the number of white Protestants declined by over a third. 30% of the white people that used to go to church are not going to church. So Somebody said, well, that's just a sign of the time, preacher. That's one of the days we're living in. No, it's not. Because among the non-white people, the black folks and the Hispanics, during the same time that article said, it has increased by 43%. You say, what happened? Too many of our worship services, you know what they are? They're a dud. Too many in this church, they're a dud. You ever been to a black church? They don't have no duds in their worship service. I used to go down Jimmy Hale Mission. Don's been with me. Some others been down there with me. I go down there. You got about 200 black men, about 10% white. I walk in the door and they're clapping and they sing Victory in Jesus, brother, and you about to get raptured out of the building. I go down Tuesday night, Brother Chris goes, Miss Carol, you go down there with those people and you preach to them. They're lifting up their heads, they're saying amen. Brother, we had a service last Tuesday night. You know what they did? They worship God. You getting white folks? Well, I wonder what's going on. Maybe I need to change the channel. Black people get excited about God. You know why our churches are dying? I'll tell you why. Because our worship services are a dud. People don't want to be around a dud. They want some excitement. Go to a black church. They're excited about God. Talk to them about the Lord on the street. They're excited about God. You know what's happened? The mud of the world, the flood of worry, the crud of the weary have gotten in our lives and our churches, and now our worship services are a dud. 8,000 to 10,000 Protestant churches are closing down every year. Ron Ralph preached Monday night. He talked about all the churches he knows that are closing. I talked to him afterwards. He told me this. He said, just within the last 6 months or a year, preacher, he said, I know 47 Bible-believing churches that have shut their doors. You say, why they shut their doors? Because their worship services became a dud and nobody wants to come. When this service becomes a dud and there's no amens, there's no shouting, there's no faithfulness, I'll tell you what will happen. It'll be a dead, closed-up church. That's what will happen. And the crud and the flood and the mud will close the doors on the church that quick. Brother Earl comes here. He's been preaching for 20 years on the streets. On the streets and is an evangelist in churches all over the country. Last year he called me wanting to meet. He never asked anybody for a meeting. He didn't openly ask me, but he said, would y'all like me to come by? And he's telling me about half the churches he preaches to now are closed. What he told me. When he's here, normally, you know what he's on the doing? He's on the phone with churches. Churches are calling him looking for a pastor. You say, why? Our worship service had become a dead dud. What's happened? And our churches are dying. That's why when I first came to this church, when I first pastored this church, this church was excited. I had a new pastor come in. We were excited. When I gave visitation, the first visitation, everybody in this church came out. Everybody. We started, there was excitement. People were laughing, and we only had these people. That's about it. But we were excited. There were amen. There were shouting. For long, people started coming to this church, didn't they, Miss Rachel? Didn't they, Miss? We were averaging 40 people in this church. In one service, a regular service, I got the notes. We had 67 people in a regular service one time in this church. And they were coming. You see why? It was exciting. People enjoyed it. They were, oh man, these pews were full. We had one service, it was a family day, but we had 76 in this church. See what happened? Our church started dying. Our worship services, they started being a dud. Our Thursday night, hardly anybody showing up. They ought to be praising prayer like crazy for that service. You see what's happening? After a while, when that worship church becomes a dud, I'll tell you what will happen. The doors will close. That's why they're closing. When our worship, this thing should never be a dud. This thing ought to be more excited than any football game you've ever been in. But what happens is, our church has become a dud. You say we don't have many people here, Brother Terry. Yeah, we may not have a very big crowd, but I tell you what, we got a great big God, don't we? I didn't come here to worship the crowd. I came here to worship God. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And brother, this thing ought to be exciting. We need to reach back in somehow down there and pick up that second wind and get back where we were and get excited about God. Because our worship services, they don't have the excitement. They're like that firecracker when you light that fuse. Psst, nothing happens. You want to find out what I'm talking about? Go down to Black Church, see what's going on. Go see what's going on. Brother Earl, I get his newsletter. He sends it every month to us. And this newsletter, he said this at the beginning of it. Here's how it started. First words. From Psalms 26:12. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. And it says this. Somebody needs to, and he's got big exclamation. Praise seems to be disappearing from our churches. We've hit a dud of worship. We got to find out how to get back to that place where we're excited about God and get excited. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just a ripple effect going through. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray your blessing now upon this day. Pray your blessing now upon the message, Father. Help us to take it heart, Lord. Help us to get excited about you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize God is nothing in the world greater and more exciting than serving you, Lord. Realize, like David said, I was glad when they said, let us go in the house of God. Like that verse said, come before His presence with singing and serve the Lord with gladness. Like it said, they worshipped Him and He went away with exceeding great joy. Father, help us to get back to that. Help us get the mud of the world out of our eyes. Get that junk out of our eyes. Help us get the flood of worry, Father, out of our eyes, Father, and out of our spiritual life. And some of these things, Father, consume our hearts and our mind. Help us, God, to put them under the blood and say, Lord, I've done all I can do, Lord. You're going to have to take it here. Whatever happens, Lord, it happens. And the flood of the worry and the crud of the weary, help us to get to be inactive. Give us that, Lord, that just that consumption, that commitment, Lord, that constitution in our lives to get up and go and go and go. Not just lay down, Father. Help us to get back, Father. Get rid of the dud of worship, Father. And get hold of you, Father. Lord, we prayed this morning, Lord, for the folks that couldn't make it. Some that are out sick. Miss Jen and Uncle Reuben, Annie Mae. Pray for them, Lord, of this interstate closing down and things. Lord, I'm just concerned about them, Lord, having to go through all that stuff their age, Lord. And pray this morning for Miss Martha, Lord. She's so faithful, Lord. She's not here, Lord. She's missed, Father. Her seat's empty and she's missed. Pray for her. Help heal her through this, Lord. Pray your blessing upon this day now, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.